We have already enjoyed, I'm not sure that enjoyed is the right word, but we have enjoyed and celebrated the truth behind the baptism, our participation with Jesus in his death and burial and resurrection. Now we come to the communion portion of our service where we are reminded again in a very visible way and tangible way that Jesus Christ did in fact die. It wasn't just an idea. It wasn't just a concept. Jesus Christ himself died in our behalf. As we break the bread this morning, we are reminded that Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, broke it, gave it to his disciples around the table and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you." And after the bread, he took the cup and he gave that to them and said, "Drink all of it. This is my blood shed for you. It's the new covenant, the new agreement between God and man." And then he said, "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." This morning we're proclaiming that message through baptism, through communion. Jesus Christ has died so we didn't have to. He paid for sin so we didn't have to. His body was broken so ours wouldn't have to be. He went to hell so we wouldn't have to. He conquered sin so we wouldn't have to. He did it all on our behalf. And today we celebrate that as we participate. And I invite you to join us. As the bread is passed this morning, hold a plate, let your neighbor tear off a piece of bread, and then pass it on. We can assist each other this way. And when we've all taken a piece of bread, we'll wait till then, and then we'll participate together. In the same manner, when we take the cup, take one, keep it till we've all been served, and then we'll participate together with a word of prayer. When we do take the cup, I remind you that the outer ring on the trays are wine, the inner circles are grape juice. Please take according to your tradition. Let's ask the Lord's blessing upon this time together. Fathers, we take these moments to remember you as we handle this bread and this wine or grape juice, reminding us of your body that was broken on our behalf and your blood that was shed for us. We pray, Lord, that in these moments your Spirit would speak as only you can through this powerful medium, and that you would draw each of us close to your heart. For those, Lord, who are here this morning with sins that have been hurting them and binding them and wounding them, I pray that you will set them free. I pray that you'll grant all of us a willingness to admit and confess our sin and failure before you so we can find your forgiveness. For those who are broken in body, Lord, I pray that the healing balm of your blood will flow and will touch physical bodies and bring restoration. Whatever our need this morning as we commune with you through these elements, we ask that your Spirit would minister through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your broken body. We thank you that because you were broken, we can be whole. We thank you that because you paid for our sin, we can be free from it. Lord, this kind of love, this kind of sacrifice is too much for our minds to comprehend. But our spirits this morning say thank you. And as we eat this bread, we're reminded of our wholeness because of your brokenness, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Participate. We know from the Old Testament that it was only by the shedding of blood that sins were covered and remitted. And that's why sacrifices had to be made over and over and over again, because people kept on sinning over and over and over again. And the blood of goats and bulls and heifers was never really sufficient to remove it forever. The New Testament says that when Jesus died, the blood of the eternal Lamb was sufficient, not just to pay for sin once, but to pay for all sin for all time. So therefore, we have the freedom from our sin for good, because our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, paid for it in its entirety. We celebrate that this morning. Again, as you take the cup, I remind you that this is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for you. Drink it in remembrance of Him. Cup. And as we remember Him and all that we have on His behalf, our hearts can't help but give Him praise. As the cup is being passed, why don't you take your hymn books and read with me number 715, which is Psalm 145. We'll read it together. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom, Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises, and loving toward all he has made. The Lord upholds and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you. Let every creature praise his name for how long? Forever and ever. Amen. Lord Jesus, we know that forever and ever we will praise you, but in a small way this morning we want to give you that praise which is due your name. It is only by your blood that we stand complete in your sight. It is only by your blood that we stand forgiven. It is only by your blood that we stand whole. And this morning we say thank you for shedding your blood on our behalf. It's in your name we pray. Amen. This morning, the communion stewards will be gathering the cups from you, so please hold on to them, and they'll pass a plastic bag down the road. Just drop the cups in the bags. We're thankful this morning that you are patient with us in our many logistics, trying to put a baptismal service and communion and everything else into our services, made for some interesting dynamics. But we'll be removing this from the front so we can have room for our kids' praise at the end of the service. But while the bags are being passed, if you could, take your Bibles with me this morning, and we'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In our series this fall, we have been studying the family of God and various aspects of that. Last week we began a study in 1 Corinthians 12 and we looked at the initial teaching on spiritual gifts. This morning we come to the last part of that chapter from verse 12 through to the end, and we're going to look at that together. I don't know if many of you saw the news a number of months ago. The news magazines were carrying a story about cloning. Apparently, genetic engineers are at the stage these days where if they continue their study and their progress, they predict that within a short period of time, they're going to be able to clone human beings. Now, a clone, for those of you who may not be familiar with the term, is a duplicate organism that is grown or produced from the cell of another. The closest thing we would have that we would liken it to would be twins. Identical twins seem to be so similar. They're very close in their genetic makeup, but they're still not clones. A clone would be an ideal, an exact replica of the individual. And like I said, genetic engineers are thinking that they may be able to do that in the near future. Can you imagine what would happen if there were a whole bunch of you running around? Or me? If they figured out how to do it with me, I hope they figured out how to put more hair on the guy. Nevertheless, it would be quite a situation. How many of you would like to see this develop so that we can actually have clones and people, human beings can be cloned? Anybody would like to see that happen? Well, some of you like the science fiction idea of it, but if you think through the ramifications, you'll realize it's not such a hot idea. And yet many religious groups, churches included, practice a form of cloning. The bottom line to their ministries, is, if you examine them, is that they all want all of their members and followers to be the same, to dress similar, to toe the line, to act the same, to agree on all issues, both critical and non-essential, to like the same music, to worship in the same style, and the list goes on and on and on. Spiritual cloning is what many churches practice. But that's not what we see taught in Scripture. If you examine today's passage with me, and we'll try and do it quickly because of our time, you will notice that we as God's children are definitely not clones. Let's ask the Lord's blessing on His Word, and then we'll jump into it together. Lord, we ask You to teach us this morning and to help us perceive afresh the significance of the variety of the body the way You designed it. In Jesus' name, amen. To show the unique unity that the body of Christ has, that the family of God has, Paul uses in this passage the illustration of the human body. And the first thing we see there is a dynamic unity to the body of Christ. Look at verse 12 and 13. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. The wonder of the physical body, well, there are many wonders about it, but one of them is that it's a dynamic unity. All of the different parts of our body, although each of them individual, are connected to make one whole unit. And at the same time, they still retain their unity. Or, pardon me, their difference. My finger will never be an eyeball. My eyeball will never be a belly button. They're always different, and yet they're all connected into a whole. They're one unit, and yet incredibly diverse. And Paul is saying it's exactly the same with the family of God. Jews and Arabs, Americans, Europeans, Africans and Asians, businessmen, refugees and teachers, children and seniors, rich and poor, male and female, liturgical and freestyle, all of us, different as we are, make up one single body.